Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, the Little Green Pasture. God bless you. It's so good to be back. I always look forward to being here. Well, I'm going to begin by prayer. And it is my prayer that you'll join me in prayer. Amen. Dearest Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for yet another day in my life and in the lives of others that, Lord, that I could be here today, that I could be a river bed of your love, and that through me, Lord, you will let your life flow and your sound to be heard, that you would strengthen what remains for your glory's sake, and that, Lord Jesus, every part of me, spirit, soul, and body, be consecrated unto you. Not just for the here and now, but for the rest of my life, and that through this life, it will be a consecrated vessel to pour fresh, clear, living waters, the cold waters to thirsty souls from a far country, the far country of heaven. So I ask you, as you always went before your disciples and before the children of Israel, I say, Lord Jesus, go before me and prepare the hearts of all that are listening. Give them ears to hear, not my voice, but yours. I offer this message up to you, Lord, from this little vessel. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You know how you come across scriptures, and it might be years you come across maybe a certain one or ones that are just like them, because there's many verses in the Bible through the thousand years where they're being repeated from each other, or maybe a certain king is saying it of himself. But there's a certain scripture that many years ago in my life really stuck out to me. And I would say it was at least 20 years ago. And not just that I come across it as I come back to that certain book, but it's one of those kind of verses that enter into you for the rest of your life. And it's something that I believe that is given to us to remember and to have in front of us and in our eyesight as we journey to the heavenly Jerusalem. And I'll share that verse with you in just a moment. And there's another verse. There's other verses that seem to be spoken of, started with Moses and then with Kings and then through Christ and then through Paul. And so I want to talk about those verses. But before I do, I want to sticky note that to the side and say, you know, when you read your Bible, it's such a personal thing. It really is. And it's not just a reading of it. It's the living word, and it's speaking to you. And we all read it with a different heart and mind because of maybe the way we were brought up, things that we've experienced, tragedies, things that so profoundly affected us, that we're always drawn to certain scriptures throughout our whole life. And I believe that the terrible things that if you had a terrible life as a child growing up and you've experienced a hard life your whole life, and many people have, and that's pretty much the norm, then the verses that are going to speak to you are the verses that speak to your pain and speak to your comfort, because you needed so much of that you didn't get at home or in a bad marriage or several marriages or from, I would just leave it there. You know, there's something that happens to us when we're young, that though we are born again and we grow up in Christ and we gain maturity, spiritual maturity and wisdom and all those things that God prepares us as people that are on their way and will enter into heaven one day. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And the life that we have lived in a terrible time and in terrible circumstances have shaped us to be the mature believers, or you will become a mature believer, but those things are not a loss for you. Those things are for your judgment and for your wisdom, and they are powerful. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and I was talking about how I noticed that there's a lot of blasé days I have that feel blasé spiritually, and that's just life, you know. But I said, you know what really makes me come alive? I mean, really come alive is when I see the poor suffering. When I see little children from other countries standing by, food being made in an open market, and everybody's pushing them to a side and they're not getting a bite of food. Where I see people ditching their pregnant dogs that are ready to give birth off the side of a road in a desert place where there's no water. I come alive when I see all these things. And when I say I come alive, that means I'm quickened in my spirit. Because you see, when I'm just in this blasé, and maybe that's not even the right word to say, blasé, but there is a work and power of the Holy Spirit within me and within you. And so that kind of indifference, like I was reading in Psalm 77 in my devotions, I'm going to open it up right here. In Psalm 77, it says here in the very beginning of it, like it talks about what the chapter is about. And it says, the psalmist shows what fierce combat he had with diffidence and the victory he obtained. And that's not a word that we use in our modern vernacular. So I looked it up, and it says diffidence is modesty or shyness resulting from a lack of confidence, the quality or state of being unassertive, distrustful, hesitant, and withdrawn. And it says here that David shows what fierce combat, it says the writers of the King James Bible, what fierce combat he had with diffidence and the victory he obtained. And he had to fight about that. And I'm not going to get into that. You could read that yourself. It's a wonderful chapter, how he came out of it, how he had to really pour himself out, and he had to fight that diffidence. And I don't think that's such a bad word to add to your vocabulary, because I have. And so I thought, you know, this, I want fierce combat with diffidence within me. And so do you, because I think that we get so overfilled with the things of this world. And we have, most of us, lived lives, though hard. I'm not saying I've had to work for everything. I've had to fight my whole way through life. This is not for you to feel sorry for me, because you've lived that way too. And we have so much in common, you and I, all of you and me, because we are people that most of us have, like I just said, we've had to work for everything. But we have also had, in that working, God helping us through all that way. And I think also through a long life, or maybe through being tired and exhausted, we become diffident. We become indifferent. And not because there's any wickedness in us, not because we don't care, but there has to be something that happens in our lifetime, in your lifetime, while you are alive, however many years Christ has given you, from the time you have been born until whenever he calls you home. And so there's a fierce combat when I think about that. I said, God, I hate the way that I feel, that I am indifferent. And so going back to what I was saying, I come alive. Like I go on Instagram, but believe me, I don't waste my time on stupid things on there. I look at things that are uplifting. I have to work at keeping myself focused on the good things, on the things that God wants me to see. But sometimes God wants me to see what he's seeing. And I notice all my life, I have always perked up, if you will, even as a little child. There's always something I wanted to do, and it was in me. And I remember from when I was 3 years old. But you see, it's because he put that in me, and he put that in you, those things, those inherent gifts that you were born with. But I want to talk about something, and I want to begin to weave this coat of many colors. In Deuteronomy 1, 16 and 17, I mentioned to you that there was a verse that I looked at 20 years ago, and it stuck with me. And it's one of the, it's like the first things that Moses is relating to us, to every reader for all time, that he wrote down how things he set up. And he says here, "And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren. Judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it." And I remember seeing that, and it just struck me. That, and as I went on through my life and through the years and decades, I realized as I'm now at this age, and I'll be 62 this year, that there is, God builds, is building up by the teaching and the moving and the killing off of things in us by the Spirit. And he has so much work to do in us, but he's ever and always working in us. That's why I realize that when I have that diffidence, I have a fierce combat against it, because I said, no, I said, Lord, give no sleep to my eyes, give no slumber to my eyes, let no deep sleep come upon me. I don't want to miss out on anything. And sometimes, so let me just pause right there, because what I want to finish saying about this is, you know, God is a God of judgment. He sits on a judgment seat, and he sits on that judgment seat, and that judgment seat is mercy. And he has grace, and we can obtain mercy and grace for help in time of need. But it's also a righteous throne, and he judgeth righteously in the earth from his throne. I remember I made a comment, left a comment. I was on a Minute to Midnight interview, and I wrote about the judgments of God, that God has judgments in the earth. And somebody said, God does not have judgments. That's something future. And I said, no, you're absolutely wrong. Read your Bible. Read your King James Bible. Because you're going to see that God is a God of judgment. He judgeth righteously in the earth. He loveth judgment, and he forsakes not his saints. That's what it says. It says he loves judgment. You know, look at Sarah. She considered her own womb as dead. But it says, but she judged him faithful. See, God wants us to have a judgment, that our life isn't just about, okay, I'm doing devotions, I'm going to church, I'm doing a Bible study, I have a few friends I fellowship over here. But I don't know about you, but sometimes, like you guys that know me, there's something wild in me that wants to break away, like I've said before, even from Christian circles. And I want to go in the Lord. I want to roll up my sleeves and get out into that open. And I want to stretch forth my hands into the poor and stretch my arm into the poor, reach forth my hand into the needy. I want to open my mouth with kindness. I want to serve the Lord with this body that he purchased. And so I keep thinking about the poor and the judgment of God. And so when I grew up, and I'm not going to go into my whole thing, but we grew up in a very poor home. I was hungry a lot. I can't speak for my other siblings, but I can say for my own self, I know what my life was like. This is not to condemn my parents. They were doing all they knew how to do, and they were damaged people themselves. And they're free to go. They've been forgiven, and I love them. But see, it made me, as I grew up as a believer, I understand what it feels like to be hungry. I understand what it feels like to wear clothes that are too small for me. I understand what it feels like to be that poor child. I know what it feels like. I know that pain, that not fitting in. And as this person of Christ, being a woman of Christ, he took over my life. And as you, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this because I talked to many of you who are in very serious conditions in your life, in health, in your finances. And that's why I'm here today, because I felt on fire and alive today to be here. And if you know me, I don't just show up to give dead messages birthed out of some kind of dead works. Because if it doesn't move me, then how could I even say anything to you? Then everything that I would say means nothing. Then it just becomes wood, hay, and stubble. And I pray to God right now in Jesus' name that he burns all of your wood, hay, and stubble and mine before we get to heaven and stand before that bema seat of Jesus Christ. You know, I think of this word in Jeremiah 22:16. It says, and he was talking about the king of Judah at that time. And in verse 16, he says, because he had faltered, he had fallen from grace from God. And it says, he judged, past tense, he judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord. And I feel so passionate and so radical about this because I think, do you hear what Jesus is saying? Hear what our God is saying to us? He judged the cause of the poor and needy, a king. This king, it went well with him. God blessed his dominion. He blessed his household. He blessed everything under his hands. He blessed his going out and his coming in. He gave him everything. Because the first thing he did was to judge the cause of the poor and needy in his land. It says, then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? And that word stands. Is that not to know him? See, it's too easy having a religious life. But there's something gravely missing in many people. I used to have times in my life where I was indifferent and there was something gravely wrong with me. You know, I think about that story Jesus spoke about. There was a certain priest, there was a certain man who had left Jericho and he was going up to Jerusalem, and he was attacked by thieves and robbers, and they beat him and they stripped him and they robbed him and they left him half dead. And a certain priest saw him as he came to him, but he crossed by the other way. And then by chance there came a Levite, and he did the same thing to that man. Jesus said that he saw him, but he went the other way. He crossed the way and he went on. And I look at that and I say, it reminds me of what this religious system has become, that there's so many people who say, well, that's not my ministry. That's not my ministry. I can put you in connection with someone in that ministry. Now, I'm not downing that completely, because many times there are legit ministries that must take care of certain things. But I'm talking about you, not ministries, not, you know, here's this number, call. I'm talking about you, your life, that you are going to one day enter into the kingdom of, in heaven. And you're going to want to know that you spent every last talent that Christ gave you, and that you are not passing by. the beaten people, the robbed people, the stripped people, the half-dead people, that you will look at them. Because, see, there's something about it says he saw that man. It says he saw that Levite and that priest says, and they saw that man. Now, we know the rest of the story about the Samaritan. But what I want to stick to this part only today. Be careful about what you're seeing. Now, I'm not saying every time you see something, you have to act. You have to have wisdom on everything. You have to pause for a moment. You have to hear from inside. You have to ask, Lord, do you want me to do something? A lot of times something will come, right, where you just say, no, you know what? Here, my last $10, take it. I mean, there's so many times, right, where we jump into action. But there are no specialists. There are none. There's no specialists. There's a man, a Samaritan. And that man, that Samaritan, was a half Jewish. He was a part of the nation. But that man showed compassion and he showed mercy. And not only did he pour in the oil and the wine into his wounds and put him on his own beast, took him to the inn, took care of him. And then he told the innkeeper, here's some more money, take care of him. And when I come back, I'll pay you for the more that you've given unto him. See, we have to judge righteously as we get older. And even you that are younger, start exercising good judgment. Read your Bibles. See what he sees. I look at this Bible and I say, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Word. And you're looking through his eyes, how he sees the wicked, how he sees the righteous, how he sees the poor, how he judges upon each thing. Now, we know the ultimate judgment is his. That's not what I'm talking about. We don't even judge our own self. But in a way, we do have to kind of really have a judgment about our lives and how we're living them as Christians. Anybody can say they're a Christian, but when you're truly alive and you're born again, you become a real, I mean, waters are coming out of you. They're coming out, not, you know how it says, Jesus says in John 8:38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, rivers of living water are for the thirsty, where you invite people to come and drink because you're just a vessel. And I think that all these children and all these people, men and women alike, that are poor in this world, that are all around you. You don't have to jump in a plane and go on mission somewhere. They're all around you. And we are out in this world. That's why you have a secular job. That's why we go out and we do things and we have these things that we do. But you know why? Because you have eyes. You have eyes. You know, I look at this, I think about something Jackie Pullinger said when she went to China. She was a Chinese missionary, and this is when she was new in it. And she said, I went up to a man and said, Jesus loves you. But I realized it didn't mean anything unless I did it. And the reason why she said that is because when she first went to China, she didn't know anything else. She didn't know anything else to do, except she was trying in her own way to be that missionary. And so she would go to a man. She went to this man. I remember reading the story. I grabbed the quote, but she said that she looked at that man. He was sitting down on the side of something and she stood there and she said, Jesus loves you. And he looked up and he just looked at her like, whatever. And she realized in that very moment that those words were empty. And it even got to the point where she said she would sometimes go out of her way because everybody was so poor that she was like, I didn't want them. I tried to like not look and just go and do my thing. because if I saw them, I wanted to do something about it. And so, you know, we all talk about ministries, and I love something she said. She said in her what they do, she said, "We don't talk about ministries. I don't have a ministry either. I just have a life. And the joy is knowing Jesus." And you know, even in this that I do, I don't say I have a ministry. I don't have a ministry. Yeah, those are her words. But I give all honor to Jackie that she said those words. But I've now made them my own. For I now say, I don't have a ministry. I have a life. And so do you. There's a freedom when you say, I don't have a ministry. Because when you say you have a ministry, then you're confined into that ministry. And that may be fine for you, and this is not a put down. But I say for me, no, I don't have a ministry. I have a life, and the great joy is Jesus Christ. Because the real life of a Christian is that the full life of Jesus Christ by his Spirit is living in your body and living through you out into this world. I just love that so much. You know, I was remembering something back many years ago in my life, and we were having such a hard time, and we were just not making it. And I was getting pretty sad, but I was getting free food, and I was going to the pantry all the time. Yes, I had some money and I could buy some things, but every penny was going to bills. Every penny was going to rent. I didn't even have a car at that time, and my then husband, who's now home with the Lord, took the car to work. And so I was doing all that I can to be creative with this food. And we didn't really have anything but eggs and maybe hot dogs sometimes. And at one point I broke down and I started crying and I was so upset. I'm like, my children need to eat meat. Like, I need to get meat, but I don't have any money. And so I went and I sat down with him and we sat on the edge of the bed and I prayed. I said, "Dear Lord Jesus, we are so desperate. I pray that you have mercy upon us. We need meat." That's all I said to him. And as soon as I said that, there was a knock at the door. And I was like, wow, who is that? You know, and I got up and I opened the door and there was somebody I knew, a sister in Christ. And she said, "Hi, hope I'm not bothering you. I just came back from Costco and I bought this huge bag of meat and I don't know why I bought it. It's just me and my little girl and we're never going to eat this." And it fed my family for over a week. I was in awe. You know, it says in the word, Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother reject me, then the Lord will take me up. And I remember in my earliest life, and so many stories I've heard that you've shared with me, how your own parents and your own family rejected you, but you have a story where Jesus Christ took you up. And you know what? I remember many years later when the Lord was patching my life back up again and I had remarried. I was no longer a widow, of course, and I was back. I had a job. I was working. I was so tired. We were both struggling too. And there was one day I was feeling so full of joy and I said to Jesus, I didn't say anything to him yet, but I remembered that time that I saw that scripture many, many, many years ago when your father and mother reject me, then the Lord will take me up. And I thanked him that moment. I said, "Thank you so much, Jesus, that when I was rejected, you took me up and that you have raised me. And now I guess I just go on." And I guess I was thinking about it in terms of like, you know, your kids grow up and then now they go on. But immediately I heard his voice say to me, "Whoever I take up forever." There's no going out. Our Father in heaven takes us in forever. We're always now the children of the house. George Mueller said, "My business is with all my might to serve my own generation. In doing so, I shall best serve the next generation, should the Lord Jesus tarry. The longer I live, the more I am enabled to realize that I have but one life to live on earth, and that this one life is but a brief life for sowing in comparison with eternity for reaping." I come alive when I see the poor, when broken hearts want to talk to me. I feel the life of Christ come front and center, and there's no diffidence in me. See, there's something about the life that's always giving, this eternal flow, the ceaseless stream of the life of Jesus Christ. You want no other life. Do not trade the life in. Don't do it for this world. We're like water wheels of the Lord. The more you give and the more the wheel goes around, the more the water is picking up that cold water for thirsty souls. And this is not about money. If you have money and the Lord is telling you give money, then do what he says. If the Lord wants you to call somebody, pray for somebody, flash a smile, look at somebody in the eyes, look at them and smile. I do that all the time. I have people that give me a double take because I believe they're looking at like nobody ever smiles at me. You know, it says in the word, the countenance of thy face beareth witness of thee. Doesn't that your face bear witness of that joy of Jesus Christ and his life living in you? Amen. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the many wicked. And there, I love those little obscure verses that say, the lame take the prey. The poor hath hope. I just love it. I just love it so much. I love being a riverbed of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want for you too. That's why I'm here. So I could let those living waters flow from me into your cup. That flow from the New Jerusalem in heaven, heavenly Jerusalem, from Jesus Christ, the fountain of life. And in his light, you shall see light, for in him is the light of life. And he wants you to succeed. He wants you to live. He wants to comfort you, and he will do it. You know, many of you are saying, but I keep praying, Jesus is not broke. Jesus is not, has diffidence. Jesus is God, and he is our God, and he is the God of mercy. He is the God. He said, I am full of compassion. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, so is my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts and your thoughts. And yes, that's true. But in his word, you know exactly what he thinks. And you know what? I have lived long enough to testify that the judgments of God are righteous, that his judgments are made manifest. He brings them to light every morning. That the judgment of God to you is for mercy. That God's judgment, that he will bring forth your judgment to light and the justice and your righteousness as the noonday. As long as you are walking in his way, you're obedient unto the ways of the Lord. I'm not talking about like, oh, every little thing is, well, I didn't do this right. See, those are the things you need to stop doing. See, God is not judging you because of your feelings. He's not judging your feelings. Even if you feel mad at him, he's not judging you. If you feel like your feelings are hurt from him, his compassion is beyond our understanding, and he is the God of love, and the things that you ask from God are God. I'm telling you, I've experienced this, and it is reality. And whatever you are going through in your life, and you are not knowing, and I'm speaking to you men, just because I'm a woman, I am your sister in Christ. And I'm telling you, trust the Lord, you men that are trying to provide for your children and your husband and your wife and your home. It says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know what? The Lord says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He is a sun and shield. He bestows grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. You know, David said this in his old age, I have been young and now I am old. And as long as I have lived, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely, and their seed are blessed. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. It says, it talks about his judgments in there. You know, this whole Bible, this whole book right here is God's judgment against Satan, against his schemes, against his hinderings, against all the things that the devil is trying to do to you and has been doing to you. Satan cannot win against Jesus Christ. You are the apple of Jesus' eye. You are the apple of God's eye. Your children are God's children. You are God's son and daughters. And to touch you, the enemy has to touch Jesus. And he is touched. Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Don't you know it's hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads? You know what those are? They were in part of the part where they were the oxen plowing with the oxen, that if the oxen didn't want to keep going forward and they went back, there was these boards with nails in it, and it hurt them when they went backwards, so it lunged them forward. There comes a point where we need to all stop trying to kick against the pricks. We need to, many of us, and this is not a word for everybody, because there's many of you that are bedridden, you are sick, you are weak, you're an old person, you're a beautiful old person. So this is not like the rah-rah, get up out of your bed, grab the sword of the Lord and run out to battle. No, you did all your battling during the days of your youth. But from your heart, you can do it. Because see, though our outward man perishes, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For these light and momentary troubles are nothing to be compared for the glory that will soon be revealed in you. God is not forgetful. He will not forget you. God will answer you. How do I know? Because I've always receive from the Lord an answer. And many times it wasn't what I asked for, but it was what he wanted for me. And many times, but later on came the more, because he answered it his way. And God will carry you. Look at Isaiah 46 verse 4, I believe. It says, even to your old, to your gray hairs, I am he. And to your hoar hairs, that's the old English way of saying gray hair, I will carry thee. I will deliver thee, yea, I will carry thee, yea, I will deliver thee and honor thee. See, when you're old, he steps in for the old ones. One last thing I want to read, and I was looking at my notes today, and it was something Amy Carmichael said. So I hope you don't mind if I read it to you. Pierre Didon, who died at Toulouse in 1900, wrote letters to prepare and strengthen a woman for work among little girls. A few years later, after great public service and much suffering, he gave himself to the education of little boys. This is what the work wanted to work for the Lord among the children. I do not want people, he said, to come to me under certain reservations. In battle, you need soldiers who fear nothing. Enlarge yourself then, and may noble services never appear to you to be burdensome. Tear yourself away from self. That is the work of the strong. The really great hearts are those who have learned to forget self. So long as one is occupied with self, one is petty and unworthy of Christ, who humbled himself even unto death to prove how much he loved us. And never say to yourselves, it is enough, but keep rising higher. Feelings are of very little value. The will is everything. God will not take you to task for your feelings, for it is not within the power of man to ward them off or allay them. That which God looks at in the human soul is the will. The only thing that lies within our power is to will to love. That is what Christ wants of us. That is the most important thing. He reckons us only according to the measure of our will and our love. For if the will is present, then the work is there. It's not what you don't have. It's what you already have in you. Amen. George Mueller. The longer I live, the more I am enabled to realize that I have but one life to live on earth, and that this one life is but a brief life for sowing in comparison with eternity for reaping. You know, I'm going to leave you with one scripture. For God hath set eternity in the hearts of man. You know why? Because everybody knows that there's something more. The rest of that verse says that they may not know what is hereafter. But I say, yes, now we know. For eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the mind, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.